so far our reading in God's holy word. Let's take a moment of prayer. O gracious and merciful God, would you lead and guide us in your word as we explore this passage this afternoon. May you work out your will in us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, I wonder how many of you have ever asked that question, what is the Lord's will for my life? What is the way that the Lord wants me to go? What are His paths? See, this question arises most difficult in those difficult circumstances as well, which makes it all the more difficult to discern God's will. It's after the loss of a job where we have served for many years that we begin to wonder, what is God's will for me now? I remember after a messy breakup, I began to wonder and ask God whether He wanted me to be single for the rest of my life. And it's tempting during these times to use those circumstances to determine what God's will is, as if we are reading the tea leaves of God's providence, looking at our circumstances as omens in the way that God wants us to go, that we begin to look for those open doors that God has given us and go towards an open door theology, as some have called it. I wonder how many of you know Burt Parsons. There was an interview I read probably a couple years back between him and Tim Challies. And he was portraying a very interesting story of his youth, where he was actually being recruited as a member of the Backstreet Boys. Now, it might age you a bit if you actually know who the Backstreet Boys are. So for you younger generation, it's a band that is much like the Jonas Brothers, a popular boy band, you might say. And at this time, Burke was going through some pretty difficult trials. He was being asked to do this, and he was being recruited, and he was being shown all the riches that he would get. He was having his life rewritten according to the ways that the producers wanted this boy band to be presented. And all the while, he was living with his single mother. His father had died, and they were struggling to make ends meet. And so many were talking to him and saying that God has opened a door for you. And in fact, during this time, he was struggling with that call to ministry. And so he had heard this advice. But there was a question that kept coming up in his mind time and time again. Two questions mainly. And so he says, first, how could I honestly serve our Lord by singing lust-filled music and shaking my body for young, impressionable teenage girls like my younger sister? Second, through what venue would I actually get the opportunity to speak about the faith and my conversion to Christ when even our life stories were being rewritten and even copyrighted? See, this is the danger of trying to seek God's will by looking at the providences. Because sometimes God's path is not the easy door that has been opened to you. But sometimes it is the more difficult ways, the ways in which we must bear up under bitter providences of God. And sometimes by going down the right path, we meet hardship. But this doesn't mean it's not God's way. This psalm was written for just such an occasion. For those circumstances in our lives where trouble causes us to wonder, what is God's will for our lives? I would have a hard time thinking that many of us could not relate to this psalm unless we have not yet been tested. And see, it isn't in the times that things are going swimmingly that we often wonder where God wants us to go. But it's during those difficult times that we cry out to God, as David does. What is your will for my life? Which way should I go? And so that's a big part of this psalm. But if we look at the entirety of the psalm, we might find it a bit puzzling, as I did this week. It was a bit hard to work out a bit of a structure to it. Because even though we may not see it, this psalm is in a alphabetical order in the Hebrew alphabet, bar one letter of the alphabet and one letter being misplaced. And yet it also is not a typical psalm in which we can put in one certain type, like a lament or a confession or a trust, but it seems to oscillate between these three different things. But I think we can see that David is circling between three themes. There is this guidance that he desires from God. There is this guilt that he brings before God and seeks his forgiveness. And then there is this cry for deliverance. And so one pastor describes it almost as a spiral staircase in which the prayer is being lifted up towards God and circling between these themes and ends with that note of trust in him. And so as we look at this psalm, we'll first begin with that theme of deliverance. And as with many of David's psalms, it seems that his enemies are always close. They're always haunting him. Trouble seems to follow him everywhere he goes. And so scattered throughout the psalm, we see David is harassed by his enemies. Verse 2 says, "Do not let my enemies exalt over me." Verse 19 says, "Look upon my enemies, for they are many. They hate me with a violent hatred. Guard my soul. Do not let me be ashamed." And then in verse 16, he says, "Turn to me. Be gracious, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress." The picture that David is giving here is a heart that is flooded with trouble to the point that the dam is about to burst. He's distressed, he's afflicted, he's suffering, and he's lonely. But David acknowledges that need. He's not hiding it. But he goes to God, admits his need for deliverance out of the trouble that he faces, the hard circumstances that he would lead and guide him out of them. See, David is not too proud to confess that he is in need. He's not too proud to confess that he's in trouble and he needs help. There was recently a research being done. And the outcome of that research was they were looking at why men are unwilling to get directions. And they came to the conclusion that men would much rather be lost than admit that they were lost and have to turn to somebody. See, this is not David. He realizes that he's incompetent in himself. He's not too proud to admit that he's vulnerable before his enemies. And he's weak. He needs God's help. He needs his direction. He doesn't have the power to defeat his enemies. So what does this mean for us? This reminds us that we too must not be too proud to admit our needs before God. We cannot defeat our enemies, the flesh, the world, and the devil, by our own power and our own strength. If there is any hope, it must be from the Lord. And we must turn to Him. Turn to Him and cry out our great need to Him as David does. For it cannot be done through our own power and our own ways. And as this psalm also points out, it also means that we need to be patient. Patient in trusting in the Lord. Because God doesn't immediately relieve all our troubles and struggles right away. He has a work to do in us. In our world, we have trouble with being patient. We have so many things that come to us fast. We have fast food. We have next day delivery. We have almost instant internet. And we can even get frustrated when that internet doesn't load up quite as quick as it did yesterday. Let that not affect our spiritual life. David says that those who wait on the Lord will not be ashamed. That even though he acknowledges his need, he waits patiently for God. But those who wait patiently on the Lord for deliverance are not inactive. And so let's look at that second theme that David asked for. David wants to be faithful to God in the midst of the trouble. And not to try to deliver himself out of those circumstances through these ungodly means. And it's in the midst of our troubles that God does that great work to us. He guides us in His will and His ways. And so David desires and prays that God would show him those ways. He says in verse 4, "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation." See, when we face trouble, it's easy to try to solve these things through our own ways and through our own actions. Again, as a rather self-conscious young boy in school, I would have received mockery from time to time from my fellow students. And I would take it pretty hard. But then there were those times when somebody else had the target on their back. And what did you think I did? I went and I joined in. The target wasn't on my back for once. And maybe if I joined in with them, then I wouldn't be targeted anymore. We can also think about that illustration in the beginning with Bert Parsons. He could have easily thought, this is God's will for my life as I could provide for my family, provide for my mother and sister in this great opportunity that I have. And yet, it wasn't the way of God. I see many young people who have been tempted by jobs that require them to work on Sunday, even though they aren't works of necessity. I had a friend who argued this way, who told me as I confronted him about this, that he told me, well, I just need to work on Sundays until I climb enough the ladder that I can actually have it off. But even now, so he's in a position where he doesn't have to work on Sunday. He doesn't go to church regularly. See, David wants us to know God's truth and His ways, to be faithful in the midst of those trials and struggles, and that God would teach us in the way in which we should go, that we would follow His will and His ways. And yet God also shows us these things, doesn't He? So often we look elsewhere. But look at how God reveals these things to us. Look at verses 8 through 10. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice. He teaches the humble His way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep His covenant and His testimonies. God has revealed His will for our lives in His covenant. See, we do not have a direct private line up to God and ask Him directly how to tell us which way to go. But He has laid out His will for us in those covenant testimonies, in His revealed will in the Word of God. He has instructed us on how we ought to live in the midst of our troubles. He has shown us what He desires for His people, which though they may be difficult, are joyful and full of loving kindness. But David also points out one of the prerequisites for this. For knowing God's will comes to the humble. He leads the humble in justice. He teaches the humble in His way. There are those who come for counsel. And often when I've shown them the scriptures and what God has taught them to do, there have been times that they have not taken that advice. Why is that? Because they really don't want to submit to God's will. Like the rich young ruler, there are many who say, I will do anything for you, but don't make me give up my riches. I will do anything for you, but just don't take away my... You fill in the blank. I will follow you as long as it is easy. So often, that's the way and the temptation of people. Recently, I've been reading Pilgrim's Progress with my children. And at the very beginning of that story, there is a character named Pliable. And Christian convinces him to go from the city of destruction to the celestial city with him. And suddenly, as they're on the way, they fall into the slough of despondency. And Pliable then gives up. He immediately turns back because things have gotten difficult. This too can be a temptation for us to give up because it's not easy. Because submitting to God's will and His ways means sometimes it'll be hard. And God reveals His will to His people. But David is also fully aware that he has transgressed those laws. Let us now look at our third point, in which we see the guilt that David confesses as he seeks forgiveness. Three times in verse 7, 11, and 18, David cries out for forgiveness, knowing that he hasn't kept these commandments, knowing that he hasn't kept the covenant. He has transgressed that law. That even though God has shown him these things, he has not kept them. And it's as if the sins of his past and the sins that he has committed in that time keep raising their ugly head. And yet, David calls on God to remember his loving kindness toward him, to not remember the sins, to remember that loving kindness for God's sake. And so David trusts in God and his loving kindness to forgive him. But did you notice the question in verse 12? Who is the man who fears the Lord? David asks. I think it's an echo of the question we heard last week. Who is that King of glory that can ascend the hill of the Lord, whom the gates are open to? It's Christ Jesus, full of grace and truth, who is meek and humble, keeping all the commandments from the heart. He is the one who has obtained prosperity for all his descendants. See, David knew the loving kindness of God and his covenant promises, who forgives the sins of those who turn to him. But even though David knew God's forgiveness, we have Christ Jesus who assures us of that forgiveness, who has shown us through his work that he is both just and the justifier. And so, people of God, in the midst of trials, sometimes those sins raise their ugly heads and we can think we deserve these struggles and trials we're going through. That God no longer loves us. That he isn't leading and guiding us. But God is at work and he forgives our sins. And he is concerned that we would follow his will in his ways. He leads the sinner in his will and his ways. And so, beloved people of God, as we conclude through this psalm, we may be a bit puzzled by its structure. We can surely see our need for God's deliverance, though, his guidance and his forgiveness. We face trouble in this age, but God calls us to pray, to join with David in prayer, asking that God would deliver us from the troubles that we face. He calls us to know his forgiveness and that he is full of loving kindness and compassion in Christ Jesus. And so let us continue in steadfast faithfulness to his revealed will for our lives in that word of God. And let us trust him and wait patiently for him to deliver us. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God and merciful Father, we do look to you for you to deliver us all out of our trouble. Lord, in the midst of these troubles, as we face temptations of this world, the flesh and the devil, would you help us to not be put to shame? Would you lead and guide us in your covenant, in your testimonies, and in your will and in your ways? May we be people of the word who know that word and know that will. And so, Lord, be near to us and forgive us as we wait patiently for you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.